Anybody else feel like testifying before I come ahead? There's a reason I give chance for people to testify. Because I believe the words that are in this Bible, and He tells us that we are made to overcome. And there's not a soul in here that doesn't need to be able to overcome. We are made to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimonies. And it's important to testify when we're out, every chance we get. And Brother Eric was exactly right when he said, when we testify, we tell what God did for us. Tell how God has done something for us, what He's moved for us in our life. Brother Lonnie, I'm so thankful for His goodness. Part of the other reason I give space for people to testify is because a lot of times I'm not real sure what the Lord wants me to talk about. And I just try to wait. There's scripture over there where He says, if you're ministering, just wait for the Lord to send that ministering spirit so that you know what it is. And I'll listen to the testimony sometimes and almost let the Lord kind of do a pulse check for me and see what's going on with people, how people are doing. And I listen to the words of the testimonies, and so many, almost every time I come up here, there's things that come across in the testimonies that hit on some of the scriptures that God has been dealing with me on. And I don't get up here near enough, and I apologize for that. But and to be quite honest, they were starting church back at Valamosa today, and I really wasn't even going to go there today. My wife's not comfortable getting out yet with the kids, and I'm about all we do is go to church and or go to work and go home and go to the grocery store. And so we just have been kind of, Brother Langston kind of laughed at us and said, we're the king and queen of quarantine. And I think he's right. We've been trying to quarantine ourselves for a while. And I wasn't planning on coming. I wasn't planning on going to Valamosa. I wasn't planning on coming here. And I started asking the Lord, Lord, what am I supposed to do? What do you need me to do? Am I supposed to go? And He let me know. He said, go. So I still don't quite know why I'm here, but I know that the Lord sent me. I know that. And I thank God that I have that knowledge that He's given to me. But as y'all were testifying, there were probably three different, what really could have been sermons. But I'm going to try and give you the Cliff Note version, possibly of all three, and let you take some notes and go home and do some studying on your own. And just try and give you, I know we've been here a little while, but Brother Eric was talking about when we stand up and testify, we tell about what God has done for us. Our brother Jude tells us, it's a little bitty book, one chapter in the whole book, so I recommend you go read the book, whole book. Won't take you very long at all. One of the things he tells us is to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. And how do we do that? How do we build ourselves up on our most holy faith? Go back and read the first couple of chapters of Joshua in the Old Testament. I think it's for chapters 3 and 4, I think, is where it is in particular. But go ahead and read the first 4 chapters. It'd be good for you. Joshua was the leader that God sent after Moses died. Moses didn't get a chance to go into the promised land. All of the children of Israel that left Egypt, they weren't able to go into the promised land because of their lack of faith and their disobedience. But their children were allowed, led by Joshua. So Moses has passed away. God tells them it's time now to cross over into the promised land. And they're standing like what they were kind of at the Red Sea when they were surrounded by Pharaoh's army. But they're standing there at the Jordan River this time. And the Jordan River's right there in front of them. And God tells Joshua to send the Ark of the Covenant out. And as the priests step their feet into the water, the water just parts. Just like it did for their parents a generation ago. The water parted for them, like it did for the Red Sea. And they were able to walk across on dry ground into the promise that God had made for them. When they got to the other side, the Lord told Joshua, said, pick out 12 men, have 12 men, one from each tribe, go and get a stone out of the river that we just crossed and have them come and stack that stone up. Each of the 12 men, stack this stone up. He said, the reason that you're doing this is so years later, when the next generation comes through, D, when the next ones come, and they walk past that stone monument that's there, and they ask their fathers, what is this? Why is this here? It'll give you the opportunity to go back and tell them that old time religion that you saw and that you knew as a child and that is still here among us alive and well today. We may be beaten and battered and bruised and wore out, but that Holy Ghost is still among us. And the reason we know, because we can go back just like the children of Israel did. So what I want to encourage you to start writing down the things that God has done for you that you can remember. Write them down. Make a record of them. Not just a digital record, but a paper record. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. The reason I say a paper record, because I'm afraid there's an importance behind that. But start writing these things down that you know that God has done for you. And to me, what these are faith stones. Stones that we can lay down right there and we can go back to. Years later after it happened, we can still go back to that faith stone and we can build ourselves up, build our faith on that stone that we've placed in front of us of what God has done for us. And that's part of the reason it's so important to get together and to testify and to tell, like what Brother Eric said, what God did for us so that our future generations, when y'all are older than she is and y'all are the ones that are having to live this in front of your grandchildren, and we don't know what the world's going to be like then, but you'll be able to go back to those faith stones that you've written down or that your grandmother has written down. And sis, one of the faith stones that I have is I was there the day you received the Holy Ghost. I was there. I thought about you. I prayed for you on the way here this morning. Been praying for you. And I was there as a child, and that's one of the faith stones that I have that I've put there. And I can remember before I ever received the Holy Ghost, I was a young kid and I watched this woman in the altar praying, and she was flat on her back, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came down, her tongue began to run, and just straight up, nobody lifted her up, she just straight up, the Holy Ghost just lifted her straight up, and I watched it. I mean, this was something I saw with my own eyes. And those were one of the faith stones that I can go back and I can build myself up on my most holy faith. So these things that we've seen, Aunt Carolyn, Lord, you are a treasure trove of, you've seen things and heard stories that I wish so bad I still could hear my grandfather or others tell these stories that I heard all of my life. Him having the burn and the Lord moving on him. I can remember a part of it, but I don't really remember the details. And I wish that I had it written down somewhere. And I can go back to that as a faith stone in my life, but it's going to be important for us in the future. And I'm afraid in the not very distant future. I don't know that for sure, but what I want to encourage you to do is start stacking up your faith stones. And when the devil comes to you, like what he talks about, because listen, from the beginning, he was the accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren, and what he does constantly is bring railing accusations against you, accusing you, saying you did this, you didn't ever receive the Holy Ghost, you're really not anything, there's nothing to this, and he's constantly bringing a railing accusation to you. But when you can go back, like the children of Israel did, to those stones of faith and say, Lord, I know. Just like when I was, Jenna and I first got married, and I was sick, just head cold, couldn't really breathe, and we were laying in the bed together and at her parents' house, and she said, you want me to go get you some medicine? I said, no, baby, just pray for me. And she just starts rubbing her hand up and down my back. It wasn't anything. Wasn't anything big. Wasn't a huge power. The Lord didn't just knock her all around like he did me when he let me lay hands on Aunt Carolyn. It was just the sweet presence of the Lord, and he began to come down, and it was like a sponge. I could feel it as she was rubbing up and down my back, and that stuff just started to dry up. It was one of the most amazing things that's ever, we hadn't been married very long at all. And she began to just pray for me and rub my back like that. And that's one of those stones that I'm putting right there that I can go back to, and I can say, when I pray, when I put my prayer up before the Lord, I go back to those stones and I'll say, Lord, just like you moved on me when Jenna prayed for me, you have not changed. You have not changed one bit, and you will be, I believe that you will do just exactly again like you did for me then. And that's building up our faith, building ourselves up on our most holy faith. So write down these things that God has done for you, so for you, and then for your future generation. And the reason I say write it down, part of the other thing Uncle Lonnie talked about is how close it seems we are to the end, to things wrapping up. And the other thing that's been on my mind has been over in Revelation chapter 13. And the first part of Revelation 13, he's talking about the beast that comes up out of the sea. And when this beast comes up out of the sea, it's going to be this great political and military power that's going to come into being at the end of time. Just before Jesus comes back, there's going to be this beast power that rises up out of the sea. And this beast power is going to have a wound unto death. But miraculously, he is healed. And then it jumps to beginning to tell us about the beast that comes out of the earth. So there's the beast that comes out of the sea that is the political power. Then there's the beast that comes out of the earth that is going to be, later on, John calls him the false prophet. So a false religion or belief system out there in the world. And he says, verse 11, chapter 13, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. So he looked sweet and innocent like a lamb. He didn't look like a huge beast like this other beast was with this all these different heads. But this beast looked pure and innocent with the intentions of deceiving many. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So this false prophet, according to the word of God, we are going to see miracles that will happen out there in the world that have nothing to do with God or the people proclaiming anything to do with Jesus Christ. And there will be miracles that will begin to take place in the world. And he says, and we're in another place, that except these days be shortened, even the very elect, those of us that have received the Holy Ghost, will be deceived because of these great signs and miracles that are going to be shown in all the land. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So make an image to the first beast and the second beast, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, this second beast, this belief system, this person that's in charge of it, is going to have the power to give life to the image that's been created of this first beast. And everyone who does not obey, worship, follow the first beast will be killed. And that he will try to kill those that don't, and those that do will receive a mark either in their right hand or in their forehead. So, technology today, the infrastructure for that to happen is being put in place right now. Now, you can go back and you can research Elon Musk, Starlink. Elon Musk is right now sending a reusable rocket back and forth to outer space, taking a payload of satellites, a low orbit satellite constellation system, they call it, that is going to encircle the entire world. And the goal, testing, beta testing should start, they hoped, by the end of this year. The goal of this constellation Starlink is to provide worldwide internet no matter where you are. You could be standing in the middle of the Sahara Desert and you could have as good a LGE or better service standing there in the middle of the desert as you could standing right here. And for there to be a system in place where you can't buy or sell without taking this mark, they're going to have some type of global communication system that ties all of this together. It's there. You can go online and you can see where the constellation satellites are going in orbit, and every now and then you can go out in the sky and you can watch them as they are circling around the earth, and they go in a little line and you can watch them circling around the earth right now. And they're continually sending more and more satellites up into the earth with the goal of setting this one world infrastructure up. The same man, Elon Musk, announced yesterday with a company that he has called Neuralink. Neuralink, those of you that are younger, Dustin, I know you remember the story, the movie The Matrix. He's essentially trying to create a matrix-style interface for the human body. And what's happening, I mean, this is literally, these are the things that sound crazy far-fetched and they sound unreal. They sound like it's just science fiction and not even capable of being true, but I promise you it's true. Go look it up. I was reading about it, saw it on NPR and then also on another website yesterday. My father-in-law sent it to me. But what he is doing He has already created a chip that gets implanted into your head that will communicate directly with his Starlink satellite system. And it will first be introduced as a way for health and emergency reasons. As a first responder and you need to show up on the scene and this person has had a heart attack or has high blood pressure or they're having a stroke or something like that, and it's going to be able to send, it's got these probes that are in your brain that will be able to send that information back to a device that will alert a first responder system. So the infrastructure for the mark of the beast, the one world currency, and not being able to buy or sell without taking that mark, it's here. It's not in the future. It's not down the road many, many years. It's only by the mercy and grace of God that He is withholding that sign from coming into play. Because physically, the infrastructure, technology is there. It's here. It's not something of science fiction. It is here. And at the point that we or any of our loved ones take this mark, then there is no more room for repentance for that individual at that point. And the Word of God tells us that you may think you won't take the mark, but without the Holy Ghost, He said that everybody who does not have the Holy Ghost will take that mark. And you may think you would never go against that dear sweet mama of yours, but He tells us that you're going to be the worst enemy she's ever had. And I believe every single word in that Bible. It's going to come true. So the reason I'm asking you to write down your faith stones is because at some point in the future, and Dee, I'm praying that our kids don't see it. I don't want to be here for it. I don't want to be here for it. And I'm praying that God extend His hand of mercy and grace just a little bit longer, because I don't want to have to be here for it, and I don't want my children to have to live through it. And I'm praying that God will give us just a little bit more time. Just a little bit more time. But at some point, there is going to come a time where being connected to that global infrastructure of the web will be probably tied to that mark of the beast that is implanted in our heads. And we won't have access to buy and sell through that system, or to communicate through that system, or to have the luxury of being able to pull up and on YouTube a video of our loved ones telling us these stories, these faith stones that we should be marking for ourselves. So write them down, please. I don't know when. I'm not telling you it's tomorrow. The only person who knows is God. Jesus Himself doesn't even know. God is the only one who knows, and I'm praying that He, in His mercy and His grace, holds back that wrath of God. So that was the second thing that was on my mind. This last thing, and I'm going to try and wrap this up because I know we've been here a long while. Is over in Romans chapter 13. And Uncle Lonnie talked about those of you that are seeking for the Holy Ghost, if you've got something against somebody, let it go and go and make it right. And then Sister Sharon reinforced it. But if you've got something against somebody, then what you've done in your mind is judged that person. And if you are judging another child of God, and this applies true for those of us with the Holy Ghost, we're going to talk, I'm just going to let the Word of God speak. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, For he that loveth another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So all of the laws that we had back there, all of the different commandments in the Old Testament, every single bit of it is wrapped up in one single word, and he says it's love. Love one another. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Looking and seeing where we are. Knowing the facts that we just heard a few minutes ago, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, which has to do with sexual immorality, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And then in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So those that have the Holy Ghost, that are struggling, that are weak in their faith. And if there weren't going to be people that were weak in their faith now, there wouldn't have been any reason for him to talk about it back then. So there's going to be those of us who will be weak in our faith. He knew it was going to happen. And he's given those of us who are around them instructions on how to help those who are weak in the faith. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And he goes on and talks about the Sabbath day and other things like that. But what he's getting across is that he that believeth that he may eat all things, and one who is weak eateth herbs. If he doesn't believe it's okay to eat. Back then they were talking about don't eat meat that's been offered to idols. One of the commandments that came down from the Jerusalem Council, from the original apostles, to the Gentile people who did not follow the law of Moses. They would eat, the Gentile people would eat food that's been offered up to idols. But one of the things that came down from the apostles said, don't eat things that's been offered unto idols. And then Paul came later on and said, look, the reason I'm telling you not to eat things offered unto idols is because the idols are nothing. We know they're not anything. If you know they're not anything, it's not going to hurt you to eat the meat. Okay? It doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt you. But for the sake of those other people who believe it's wrong for you to eat that meat, don't eat that meat in front of them, because you're going to cast a stumbling block in front of that person. That's in regards to the meat portion. But then he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And that was the verse that just really stuck out to me, and I highlighted it in my Bible. And I can remember people coming through at times, and saying that they had been made a fruit inspector to come and inspect the fruit of these other people. I don't find that that is in the Word of God. Now, he says that we will know them by their fruit. We will know people by the fruit that they bear. But according to this scripture, I am a servant of God. That other person is a servant of God. And he did not tell me to go and walk up to this other person and say, I'm here to inspect your fruit. Are you actually a child of God or not? Are you living the way? I can watch and see, and if it doesn't look like it, I don't have to follow you. But this scripture says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So for any of you that are seeking for the Holy Ghost, if you are looking at other people that have the Holy Ghost, and there are things that you see in their life, and the old accuser begins to talk to you, and that accuser begins to accuse that person in your ear and tell you, if I was that person, there's no way I would do that. Or if I had the Holy Ghost, there's no way I would allow that to happen in my life. I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, if you're doing that, you will not receive the Holy Ghost. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost judging his other servants. He says, who made you a judge, old man? Don't judge anyone else. At the end, the master is going to gather in all of the grain and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The master's going to do it. He knows that tares will grow up among the true children of God. It's going to happen. It has always happened. And the responsibility of the other servants is to love, not to judge. That is the responsibility. And if you want to be a servant, his child, your responsibility is to love and not to judge whatever else is going on. Because the majority of the time, there is always more than one side to every story. And as smart as I like to think I am sometimes, I know that I don't know everything. And if being married hadn't taught me that, I used to think I was a whole lot smarter than I was. And I realized after I've been married, man, I'm not as smart as I think I am. And I really don't have it all figured out. I don't know everything like I thought I knew everything. And there's a whole lot more sides to these stories than what I'm just seeing at face value. So he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Charitably, in love. If that brother is grieved with your meat. And listen, I don't want you to think I'm letting people off the hook if they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. If you're doing something as a child of God that you know you're not supposed to be doing, I'm praying that God is holding on to you And I'm going to keep holding on to you as long as the Lord will allow me to hold on to you. But listen, do not continue down that path if you know that you are not supposed to be doing it, because you're throwing a stumbling block in front of others by your actions. If you know that you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, don't do it. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after peace, let us therefore follow after these things, the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that commendeth not himself in that thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned in his eat, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Then chapter 15, 14, he started with those that are weak. 15, he's going to address when then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So he's saying that if you are strong in your faith, bear the infirmities of those that are weak. Those that you see that are struggling, in love, in charity, help them bear their burdens. Don't judge. Help them bear. Let the Lord judge them. Let the Lord judge. And he will. He will judge. He'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. And if we go back to chapter 9. I'm sorry, not 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. He gives us some practical instruction for how to love. Let love be without dissimulation, or let it not be hypocritical. Don't let your love be insincere or hypocritical. How do we not let our love be hypocritical? How do we not be insincere? Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So he started this with love, telling us not to judge, but to love one another. Our job as a servant, and for those of us who want to be servants, is to love. And one of the truths that I've come to realize about love, he says, love not just in word, but in deed. It's easy to walk up to somebody and say, I love you. It's a lot harder to walk into the fire with that person, hating the garment despised, hating that garment that's been defiled by the flesh, but pulling them out of the fire, saving some. It's a lot harder to do that. And what's going to happen to us when we do that? If we love the way that Christ teaches us to love, John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The way God showed his love was by completely giving of himself what was most important to him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. When we love the way that Christ teaches us to love, it will inevitably cause us severe heartache and pain because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where sin has its dominion. And because of sin, we know that the wages of sin are death. Because death is in existence, anytime we allow ourselves to become vulnerable, because when we love, that's what happens. We expose ourselves and open ourselves up to being hurt. It's what's happening. We are letting our guard down and we are giving of ourselves, and we can expect that at some point, loving the way that Christ tells us to love, to give of ourselves completely, it is going to hurt us. Aunt Carolyn, even the relationship that you and Uncle Johnny had, which was amazing, a wonderful relationship, because of death, that pain and that hurt is there. It's nothing he did. It's not his fault. But anytime we love, anytime we love in this fallen world, it is going to end in pain. But praise be to God, that is not the end of the story. It would be a cruel God to design such a system where he knows that he tells us to love unconditionally, completely giving of ourselves, knowing that we are going to get hurt when we love the way that we love, that he wants us to. When Jesus first came back from being tempted in the wilderness, he was baptized by John, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted of the devil, came back and went back to his old hometown of Nazareth. And when he was in Nazareth, he went into the synagogue. And as he was there in the synagogue, they brought out to him the scroll of Isaiah. And as they brought it out to him, he rolled it out to the 61st chapter. And I believe that as he did that, he began to read his mission statement of what he was sent here to do down here on this world, in this earth. In the 61st chapter of Isaiah, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So as we love the way that he teaches us to love, a lot of times we're going to end up brokenhearted. Just completely brokenhearted. And then there's even some of us that have become wise to this cycle and know that it's a cycle that continues, and that if I allow myself to open up and be vulnerable, then I will eventually be hurt. So instead of doing that, we watched with the kids last night. We had a great night last night, and yesterday, and we watched the live action version of Beauty and the Beast, and it was great. We popped some popcorn and had a fantastic night at the house, and just sat on the couch and watched Beauty and the Beast. And as we were watching that, I was thinking about this scripture, and I was looking at this beast character, and I was thinking that there are so many people out there in the world like this beast character, who is on the outside. They have been hurt so many times. So many times they've been hurt that they realize, I'm not willing to let myself be hurt anymore. I'm going to have this outer hard shell facade that will keep me from getting hurt, that won't allow anything. I will remain in control of what I allow to affect me, and it comes across as this hard shell persona. But really, deep down inside the beast, what he wanted was to love and to be loved. It's a human condition that's everywhere. It's everywhere. And all of these people that look like they're these vicious, horrible beasts out there, I believe that Christ was talking to them right here. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me for the brokenhearted, those that are brokenhearted and know that they will be brokenhearted from loving. He has sent me to bind them up. And those that have created their own self-prison, he has come to set them free and to allow them to love the way that God initially intended for us to love. So, what I want to encourage you with, and I'm going to try and wrap it up because I've talked too long. When we love the way that God has called us to love, and Donna, it's going to hurt. It is. Because we live in a fallen world, when you love your brothers the way you love your brothers, and you see them make choices that hurt you and your family, it hurts. It hurts. We are going to experience pain and heartache and sorrow in this world because sin exists in this world. It's going to happen. And the rock solid foundation, that first faith stone that we get down to, the very first one, is that the love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's my very first rock solid faith stone that I stand on for me. I know. I know that that love of God came in and was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost one day. And I know that I'm going to experience pain and heartache, and things are going to happen that I have no control over. And it may shake my faith a little bit. But when it shakes my faith, I want to encourage you, don't run to yourself to control it or to fix it. Don't run to some type of substance to fix it. Don't run to a ball game to keep your mind distracted away from the pain that you're feeling. Allow yourself to go through that grief. Allow yourself to go through that pain so that you can allow God to make true to His promise, I am here to bind up the brokenhearted. And He can only do that when we allow Him to bind us up. If we are trying to fix it ourselves, He can't bind us up. Rachel, if you've got a person that is there in the hospital and they need to have a bandage put on them and they need to be bound up and the doctor is sitting there trying to work on them, but that person is all the time, I got it, I got it, I got it. The doctor can't do what he's trying to do. If you're constantly saying, I got it and I'm trying to fix it, or I know I'll take this medicine even though the doctor didn't prescribe this to me. Quit trying to fix it on your own. Know that there is pain, heartache, and suffering in this world, and it is not an indictment against your salvation. Says over in the 34th Psalm, and I didn't think I was even going to get to that today, but I did. So over in the 34th Psalm, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. So the righteous, those that have been saved and have the Holy Ghost, are going to experience many afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That affliction that you're going through is by no means an indictment against you saying that you have not received the Holy Ghost or that God's love no longer is extended to you. If you're hearing that word, that is the word of the accuser coming to you, trying to accuse you day and night, trying to shake you off of your foundation. Go back to your foundation. Go back to what the Word of God says. Trust in the Lord today. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Amen. Aunt Carolyn just said, God, let them hear. And that's exactly. Lord, I pray. There. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray that that word of God goes down in your heart. Lord, I love you. I do. I love you. You've got a whole house full of people here that love you and want to see you make it. Want to see you filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And those of us that are struggling, we want to see you overcome and come through on the other side. So we need you on that other side so that you can tell our future generations, this is what I lived through, and I didn't see a way in the world for the Lord to help me. I had no control over it. It's just like the children of Israel standing at the Red Sea, mountains on either side, the Egyptian army behind them, and a body of water in front of them. Those are the types of times that God loves to work. Proven to you and to everyone else around you that you didn't do anything about this. You didn't even do anything to deserve this. It's because I love you. Just because I love you. And what did Moses say? Stand still. in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of everything, the storms that are going on all around us. Like Aunt Doshi said, the diseases that we are seeing in the minds of people. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. His word is true, always and forever. And the good thing is this, it's not just for me. It's not just for me. It's for you. That promise is yours for the claiming when you want it. And will never have to be taken away from you, ever. He says, what can separate us from the love of God? He said, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities, all these different things, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Just surrender yourself to the Lord just like you did when you received the Holy Ghost. I loved that testimony. It was such an encouragement to me. I loved it. Loved her testimony. Because she's exactly right. Just surrender yourself over to the Lord just like the day that you received the Holy Ghost. He bound you up then. He will bind us up continually. And Brother Lonnie, I know this hadn't been a big shouting, but I think I'm done. But I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love His promises. How? Lord, I was driving up here and just tears began to flow down my eyes as I began to think about the promises of the Lord and how good He has been to me, even in my stupidity, in the horrible decisions and the sometimes outright disobedience, you know? I mean, and He still holds on to me. He loves me that much. And He lets me know, He lets me feel Him. And that love of God just begins to well up in me. And it's so good to rest in the peace of God, knowing that my Lord loves me and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But you know what? I am one of them. What your daddy say, we are they. I am one of them. Thank God I am. I am one of them and you can be one of them. Today, you can go home a child of God and know that every single one of those promises in the Word of God are for you. And you can claim them as your very own from now until He takes us to be home with Him in eternity. Brother Lonnie, I'm going to get out of the way. If you feel like saying anything, I'm going to thank you all for your patience. I love you. And I feel like this was kind of all over the map today, and I apologize for that. But I love you, and I thank you for your love and your patience with me. And I pray that the Lord sent something out that would be a help that we see. Lord, it's high time for people to receive the Holy Ghost. And there is not a single reason in the world why we can't see somebody receive the Holy Ghost right here. Not a single reason. What I felt in this service, what I felt among the children of God, the power of the Lord is here, Aunt Donna. And He's not slack concerning His promises. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost, and you can leave today a child of God. Thank you.